This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahi barik fi. I thought it was me. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in beginning, who has gathered us and allowed us the opportunity to sit with each other, seeking His mercy and His remembrance, to gather us all once again in the best of diyafa and the best of gatherings with our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Jannatul Firdaus, Allahumma Ameen. It is always an honor and a privilege to visit my brothers here in Birmingham. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to bless our brothers here at Green Lane, our sisters at Green Lane Masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to provide for them and strengthen them and honor them and cause them to be leaders in good for others to follow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve our masajid, our institutions, and make it a place of comparability that we seek to attain similar to it. Allahumma Ameen. I'm arriving from Glasgow. I was in Glasgow for the weekend, and I was on my way to London tomorrow. I have a few events there. And subhanAllah, it's not befitting that I travel through the UK and not visit my brothers at Green Lane Masjid. And I've only arrived here today for that one particular reason, which is to be with our blessed community here. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the time that we spend together one that we earn His reward, earn His blessing, and that it is a way of us saving and salvaging ourselves from Jahannam. Allahumma Ameen. Today I want to speak about al-qalb, the heart, al-fu'ad, which is another word for heart, and as-sadr, which is another word for heart. And all three mean the same thing in the English language, but have different meanings in the language of the Quran. And in understanding the different contexts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word qalb and sadr and fu'ad, sometimes in the very same ayah, that Allah will use two different words, fu'ad and qalb, in the same ayah in Surah Al-Qasas, because He intends two different things by the same place. A lot of mention has been placed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an with regards to the need to monitor, heal, protect, investigate the internal state that each and every one of us lives. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the authentic hadith, it's found in the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, it's a hadith in the Sahih, he says sallallahu alaihi wasallam, giving us a similitude, he says, inna fil badan, in a human being's body, physically, not spiritually, physically, he's speaking sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a morsel of flesh. There is a piece of you. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْبَدَنُ كُلُّ. If it's healthy, if it's well, if it's looked after, the rest of your body, the rest of your condition, follows suit to it, is healthy and well. And if it is infirm, if it is diseased, the rest of you as a person, even if you seek to build muscle, even if you seek to eat healthy, just because that small part of you, that integral part of you is unwell, the rest of you is infirm and sickly. Ala wa hiya al-qalb, that place is the heart. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in giving us that imagery of a physical heart, he's giving us the similitude, the example, the parable of the spiritual heart. And very early on in the Quran, Allah wants you and I to know that the heart is of great concern. And therefore, when you open the Quran, you're confronted with Surah Al-Fatiha. And immediately after Surah Al-Fatiha is the answer to what you ask Him for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He asks us to ask Him, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. O Allah, guide us. Give us hidayah. Hidayah to a straight and level, moderate path. A balanced way of life. The path of those whom you have given before us. You led them to it, O Allah. Not the path that others have fallen away from, have been misguided from. Earning your anger and falling away from the truth. Ameen. So Allah then gives you the answer. Alif Lam Mim. Thalika al-kitab. You want that hidayah, that huda, ihdina? Thalika al-kitab. La rayba fih. You'll find it in this book. It has no doubt, ambiguity. There's nothing in it that's going to confuse you if your heart is clean and receptive. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى. It is a guidance. لِلْمُتَّقِيمِ. A little while later, you continue reading in that chapter, which Allah is telling us where this guidance is, where to attain it. He says that there are some people, their hearts, قُلُوبُهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. He gives us the example of nations who lived before us, that their greatest flaw, the thing that led them to worship a golden calf, the thing that led them to earn Allah's anger or to be misguided or to lose the scripture, was that their heart, which is a compass of life, it is where your fitrah lays. It is a seat of consciousness and awareness. It's where your sight is supposed to be monitored by its sight. He says, sallallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala, that some hearts can become harder than rock. فَهِيَ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. And not just rock, but even worse than rock. See, the Qur'an wasn't meant for everyone. It was meant for everyone to hear it and want to believe in it, but it wasn't meant for everyone to be able to access it and receive it and understand it and practice it. Not everyone is worthy of the Qur'an. So after Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى, it's a guidance, لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, He gives you a condition. It's not going to be a guidance for everyone. There are people, wallahi, may Allah protect us, who know the Qur'an better than you and I. There are Orientalist scholars who analyze the verbs and the structures and the i'rab, who shred the Qur'an letter by letter, but it finds in their heart no space or room. It's purely academic. It's purely investigative. Why? It's not about the knowledge of the Qur'an. It's not about the letter of the Qur'an. Allah tells you that this Qur'an, Hudan lil. There's a ta'leel, there's a reason, there's a purpose for it. It will be a guide, but for who? Lil muttaqeen. For those who approach it with a sincerity and a piety of heart. And therefore, any time before we begin our discussion, any time, ya akhi, you're confronted with something in the Qur'an, ya ukhti, any time you read from the Qur'an, you hear something, the message of the Qur'an, and you understand it, but it doesn't move you to change, it doesn't move you to action, then know that the problem is in the Qur'an, the problem is that your heart doesn't have the necessary quality to receive its guidance. So Allah tells us about those nations before us. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. In Surah As-Saff, Allah says, when they departed from the truth, when the letter of the law, when the Torah and the Injil and the Psalms of Dawood, when they read it, but it was like a burden on the back of a donkey. It's like someone just carrying, يَحْمِلُ أَثْقَالَ أَثْقَالَ. They're just carrying books on their back, things in their mind, information that the heart doesn't receive. Allah says, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا, when they departed from the truth, they chose not to practice it, they didn't access it. أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. Allah also made their hearts turn away from the words, that they parrot and recite, but don't seek to practice and implement. So we need to speak about some of the illnesses so that we determine our condition. And in determining our condition, we can then begin to seek a diagnosis and then seek to make, after the diagnosis, a plan of action to heal it. Have you ever sat with the Qur'an and felt tired from it? Have you ever recited the Qur'an intending to read a certain section but put it away before you finished? Have you ever had a day or two or three or a week go by where the Qur'an wasn't a part of your life? Is the wording of the Qur'an strange to you? And if it's strange to you, do you seek to become acquainted with it, to become a friend to it, sahib al-Qur'an, a companion to the Qur'an? Is it something that you think about when you're idle and alone? A word or a verse or an ayah or a hadith that reminds you of a verse from the Qur'an. Do you instruct others in it, even if all you know is just a verse? Do you seek to be from the best of humanity? Well, the Prophet ﷺ says the best of you is the one who acquires the Qur'an and teaches it to others. Is the Qur'an on your shelf dusty? Is your Qur'an worn out or is it brand new? Do you have your own Qur'an? Do you have your personal Qur'an? That's your mushaf. Have you ever written anything from the Qur'an? Have you wanted to have that nobility to be a scribe of the Qur'an? Do you seek to master its tajweed? Do you care just about the tone and the sound? Or do you want the precision of its reading? How often do you listen to it and follow the reciter? How many verses a day do you memorize? How many verses a week, maybe a month, have you memorized? Do you have a plan and a niyyah to commit the Qur'an to memory before your death, knowing that if you die and you haven't achieved it, you will get the reward as if you achieved it? See, many of those are questions that are embarrassing for myself and you. Wallahi, for myself and you. For myself and my family and you. For yourself and your family. What love do you have for the Book of Allah? Is it emotional? That if you see someone rip it, you get upset? See, because we have these kind of things where it's sathi, it's like the skin of an apple. Oh, the Qur'an, and astaghfirullah, ya akhi, how could you put it on the lower shelf? It has to be on the higher shelf. We think, alhamdulillah, we honor the Qur'an. You'd never in the masjid see a Qur'an on the floor. We put it on high shelves. We put it in a place that we honor it. But the greatest honor of the Qur'an is that we don't put it down physically. We usually put it down emotionally and spiritually. And the Prophet ﷺ complained about you and I. May Allah protect us, Ya Rab. He says in Surah Al-Furqan, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ, the Prophet ﷺ called out to his Lord, Ya Rab, O my Lord, إِنَّ قَوْمِي, my people, those who were unbelievers from Quraysh, and as Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim also says, those who were from our ummah, those who believe in the Qur'an, إِنَّ قَوْمِي اتَّخَذُوا, they took it, هذا القرآن مهجورا, they received it, but then they gave it a level of abandonment. And I might abandon the Qur'an maybe more than you. Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, he says, of the first ways that our ummah left the Qur'an, forgot the Qur'an, put the Qur'an as a side, one of the first ways is that we don't use it as a medicine. You know, I wasn't feeling well, jazallah khair, my dear brother. He made me some ginger tea, bismillah.
your throat, mashallah. Imam al-Qayyim says, no, actually you didn't begin with the sunnah. The sunnah was a tadawi bil Qur'an. The first thing that the ummah did in leaving the Qur'an, we forgot to recite the Fatiha. The Prophet ﷺ, you know, he would sit in his bed. He's covered himself sallallahu alayhi wasallam with his blanket. Before he would go to sleep, on his mat, on his place he's going to sleep, he would cup his hands together, he would recite from the Qur'an, Surah Al-Fatiha and other ahadith, Ayat Al-Kursi, and he would wipe upon himself the parts that weren't covered with clothing or his blanket. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whenever Al-Hasan wal Husayn would come, he would sit him on his lap, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he would recite upon them Al-Ma'udhat. He would recite upon them the Qur'an. It's a dawa. Some of the Sahaba, they returned to the Prophet ﷺ, they have been given a present. It was a payment. As they were going by, they found an unbelieving family. They don't believe in Allah. They don't believe in the Qur'an. But they had a sick child. And they said to them, if we help you with your sick child, you don't believe in what we believe. You don't believe in the word of Allah. But if we help you with our word of Allah, if we made a ruqya with it, would you reward us? They said, yes, of course. So they read upon the child Surah Al-Fatiha, and he became better. So the family gave them a sheep, and they argued with each other. The hadith is in Al-Bukhari. They said, no, don't eat the sheep yet. Don't take it yet. Because we didn't receive news from the Prophet ﷺ if what we did was correct or not. Their fitrah taught them that the Qur'an is a cure, because they know this from the Prophet ﷺ. But can we use it for this child? Can we use it for someone who's not believing? Can we take a payment for it? Can it be eaten? And when they return to Al-Madina, the Prophet ﷺ, you know, they tell him the story, and he says, where's the rest of the meat? They said, here. He said, give me some of it, because I'm your teacher. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who taught you? I deserve payment as well. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How much of the Qur'an is a part of your life? What routine in your day has been built around the Qur'an? You know the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum wa ardahum, they used to measure distance by how many ayat they could read in it. They say, oh, you know that guy? He lives 40 ayat away. Not 40 steps, not 40 meters. 40 ayah away. Oh, how long will it take you to go and come back? I don't want to wait here all day. No. It's like me reading Surah Al-Mulk. If you read Surah Al-Mulk, by the time you finish, I'll be back. That's how they measured their life. That's how they, how long between Adhan and Iqamah? It's about 40 ayah. This is how they used to measure everything. Their concept of time, even though they had timekeeping, even though they had, you know, they could keep time, they measured it with the thing that was an essential in their life. If you had no property, if you had nothing, your greatest value was the Quran you knew. A man got married, he doesn't even have a ring of iron. Prophet ﷺ says, you don't have anything? Do you have silver? No gold, no silver. Do you have a ring of iron? He says, not even a ring of iron. Prophet says, what do you have? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, مَعِ الْبَقَرَ وَآلِ عِمْرَانِ. Allahu Akbar. He says, زَوَّجْتُكَ بِمَا مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. I give you her in marriage because of the knowledge of, that you have of these two surahs. You must teach her these two surahs. It's wealth. It's an inheritance. It's the inheritance of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, the Qur'an tells you straight away where your heart is. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, استحضر قلبك في ثلاث. You will know whether your heart is awake, alive. You can tell whether your heart is clean, is pure, is salim in three places. And we're only going to look at the first of them. He says, عند سماع القرآن عند قراءة القرآن. At the time you hear or recite the word of Allah. Is your heart with it? Are you awake? Are you a part of it? Or are you distant from the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our hearts have veils upon them.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed some of us more than others. Some of us, the ghilaf, the veil, the covering, the shroud, the kafan that covers our heart may be thin, maybe one layer. For others, it becomes kalla barrana ala qulubihim. For others, it's a rusting, ran. Ran is an envelopment of the heart. Kalla barrana ala qulubihim. These people, the reason they're unable to come to faith is because their heart has become rusted, has been covered over. You can't penetrate it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, Ya Rabb. So let's begin our journey of curing and healing our hearts by mentioning five of its greatest warning signs. I'm going to speak of five things. There's many others, but these are some of the five greatest things that you and I need to look at to cleanse ourselves and be ready to protect our heart and get it ready for its cure. The first of them we began with, which is the Qur'an. The second is the love of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is best indicated, as Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim says in Jala'il Afham, in his book about the salawat and the durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by how often you mention him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It would be inconceivable for any of the Sahaba to not mention our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their day at least 100 times. This is the opinion of Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim. He goes, there's no indication that any of the Sahaba in any course of their life, in any of them, that they didn't have a mention of salah and salam upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that if a person was negligent in it, they were counted that there was something wrong with their heart. Something's not right. If you don't have that habit of showing your love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why is it called love for the Prophet? What do you love with? You love with your heart. The Prophet ﷺ says, you cannot be complete in faith. You cannot consolidate, attain a completion of faith until you love me, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, more than you love your father, your mother, your children, your own self, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fidaka abi wa ummi ya Rasulallah. May my father and mother be sacrificed, die to save him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was, you know, the Sahaba, when you consider their love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and try to put it in a balance and consider our love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's very telling why they were chosen by Allah to be created, to live in His time, and why we were chosen to be created and live so far away from His time. Because it's not your choice. You can't choose when you're born. Allah made that fate, that qadr for you. And Allah fated for you to be so distant from Him in time for a reason. And Allah destined for them to be in His time for a reason. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't just come out by accident. He was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because his heart had love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can tell whether your heart has love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of what you are willing to do for him. And one of the first things that tells you what you do for him is your salawat upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, he writes in the same book, many different blessings, benefits that are recorded in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and in hadith that he spoke about his own mention, and things that are mentioned by the Sahaba about mentioning him sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wasallam. From them, for every time you mention him, Allah mentions you, sends salawat upon you, sends blessings upon you. هو الذي يصلي عليكم. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will send His blessings upon you. وملائكته. And he will cause his angels to do that for you. For what reason?
إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا.
Send your blessings upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every time you mention him, Allah mentions you 10 times. Every time you mention him, all these in the authentic, in the sahih. Every time you mention him and ask Allah for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah returns his soul to him, so he responds, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How, in what way? Allah knows. But this is what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, raddallahu alayya ruhi. Every time you mention him, send salawat upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tu'aradu alayya salatukum. Your salah is displayed to me. He knows it. Yahya Adil Ibrahim, who sent this salah upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أحق الناس بشفاعتي, the most worthy of my shafa'a on the day of judgment, the one who will be most worthy of it, is the one who mentions and asks Allah to send his blessings upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you have to understand that. See, if you can understand that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that the one who makes dua for his brother, forget the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a second. If you sitting there, you say, oh Allah, bless brother Yahya, I highly recommend that. Oh Allah, increase brother Yahya's rizq, increase his health. You make that dua for me now. Don't tell me, but do it. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who makes dua for a brother or sister of his, makes dua for another person, بِظَهْرِ الْغَيْبِ, without them knowing, Allah sends an angel who says, Ameen, أَرْسَلَ اللَّهُ مَلَكَ فَأَمَّنَ وَقَالَ Ameen, وَلَكَ بِمِثْلِ, and to you the same thing, you ask for them. If this is for a poor man like me, imagine if you make salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ, how many angels are sent for you? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Your salah and salam upon the Prophet ﷺ, our ulama, they used to call it al-mufarrija. It is the salvation. It is what removes your difficulty. تَدْفَعُ عَنْكَ الْهَمْ. Because the Prophet ﷺ mentioning him is a way of you bringing upon yourself khayr. It's better than you making dua for yourself. And we get this from the hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'b, which is an authentic hadith. It's in the Sahih and Sahih al-Jami', Sahih al-Albani. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ubay comes to him, radiallahu anhu arda, and he says, O Messenger of Allah, عندي حاجة, لي حاجة, I have an essential need, something I can't do for myself. I need help, and only Allah can help me, O Messenger of Allah. Ya Rasulullah, I've decided that I'm going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to make 2/3 of my dua, I'm going to ask for what I want, and 1/3 I'm going to make it salawat upon you. The Prophet ﷺ said, that's good, but in zitta khayr, if you increase upon me, it's better. He said, Ya Rasulullah, 50-50. One dua for me and one dua for you. I'm going to say, Ya Rabb, cure me. And oh, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala. The Prophet ﷺ said, that's good. If you increase, it's better. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I'm not going to ask anything for myself. All of my need, I'm going to ask Allah to help me for it, with it, by asking Allah to bless you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm going to make all of my need salawat upon you, Ya Rasulullah. Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَنْ كُفِيتْ. Then whatever your need is, you will be sufficed. وَرُفِعَ عَنْكَ الْهَمْ. And whatever has been depressing, you will depart from you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your heart, if it doesn't have that sweetness of being able to sit and mention him, there you are driving to work. There you are on the train. There you are walking. There you are sitting. Mention him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in excess. Sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad.
I want you to understand how important the salah is, because it is one of the cures of the heart. Right? The Prophet ﷺ, the salah we just prayed, a rukn of it, meaning an essential pillar. See how this pillar holds up our ceiling? If you take the pillar away, it caves in. The salah cannot be accepted unless you make the tahiyyat and the tashahud upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can read the Fatiha all you like. You can make your ruku' and your sujood. You can read the whole Quran in your salah. But if you come and you intend not to say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, until the end, as-salah al-Ibrahimiyya, your salah is of no value. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah has joined our prayer to Allah with our honoring to the one who taught us how to pray. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take it a little bit further. Not just your salah is compounded with the blessing of the salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but that the sahaba say to you, the Prophet ﷺ took the same care, and the hadith is in Al-Bukhari. They used to come and say to him, O Messenger of Allah, you taught us how to pray to Allah. Teach us how we can mention you to earn the blessings from Allah for mentioning you. And they said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he used to give them the same level of instruction in how to pray. In the same way he was so detailed in the salah, he was so detailed in the salawat upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take it even further, that he would make salawat upon himself. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. In the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would make the salah upon himself. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Know where your heart is, how clean it is. From your attachment to the Qur'an and from your love for the Prophet ﷺ, and one of its greatest indicators is your salawat upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number three. Know where your heart is, how clean it is, how pure it is, how adulterated or impure it is, from your service and concern for others. And the Prophet ﷺ, if we can look at his life and define his life in one thing, in one objective, is that he was there to serve anyone who he encountered. Rich or poor, dark or light, tall or short, man or woman, Arabi or Ajami. The Prophet ﷺ's life was a life of service. And that's why Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The concept of rahmah is that you are there to provide a dispensation of compassion to the one who cannot receive it except through you, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not only was he a rahmah to mankind and to the jinn, but even to the animals. I want you go further than the animals, even to the trees, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The authentic hadith in Al-Bukhari, in Muslim, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mashallah, it's beautiful to see your masjid has been renovated. And mashallah, the brothers, they gave me a nice tour before we prayed Salatul Maghrib. You know, you have a new minbar now. I stood on the old minbar. I haven't had the honor of standing on this minbar. May Allah give us the life and the energy, Ya Rab. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a minbar, a pulpit was made for him. So where he used to stand, there used to be a tree. You'd say, a tree where? In the masjid? Yes, of course in the masjid. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a conservationist. There was a little tree growing in the place that they're building a masjid around it. They came to cut it down. He said, why? Leave the tree. Why do you want to cut the tree? Leave it. It's a living thing. They left it. The Prophet ﷺ used to sit with his back to it.
stand and lean on it when he got tired, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The tree used to listen to his Qur'an. When you go to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there's the place, it is called the Musalla, Musalla Nabi. You know, they have that marble encasing that covers where the Prophet used to stand in prayer in the Rawdah. In that encasing, you'll see a pole that's attached to it. If you look at the top in green writing, in green and gold, it said that this is Ustwanat al-Hannana. This post is where the Hannana, the tree that Hanna al-Jiz'ah, the weeping tree, used to stand. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was right beside his place of prayer. It's like it was his next to him in his salah all the time, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And all of a sudden he now stands on the pulpit. When he ascended the minbar, the tree cried. Hanna al-jiz'ah. You say, what do you mean cried, brother? Ya'ni water was coming from it? No, loudly. Fafazi'a an-nas. People got scared. People, you don't expect a tree to make noise. See, science today tells us, we don't need science to confirm the Prophet ﷺ, but science today tells us, you know, you will see farmers who talk to their trees, they give them better fruit. Some of them, they play music and other things. Trees communicate with each other through their roots. If you don't believe me, Google it. Do trees speak? Vegetables know when they're being eaten. Like, you can demonstrate, they release chemical signatures that they know something is happening to them. That other vegetables around them, they have the same reaction. Uh-oh, Sheikh Yahya is going to eat me. I'm a carrot. It's something they know, they can sense. So there's this tree that you think is just something, it's not worth anything. But it used to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the Prophet stood further away and is beginning to talk, the tree began to scream, to cry. Fazi'a an-nas, everyone got scared. The Prophet came down from the minbar, wa dhamma al-jiz'ah, and he hugged it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa washwasha ilayh, and he whispered to it. Wa hassa alayh, and he patted it. Hatta askata, until he made it stop crying. Do you know what the Prophet said to the tree, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said to the tree, if you are quiet now, if you be quiet now, I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to plant you for me in Jannah. So this is the tree of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He was rahmah to everything around him. It concerned him. He comes out of his masjid, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He sees in front of him a camel, and as soon as the camel sees him, it begins to cry. It begins to speak to him, crying, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, complaining that its owner has put too much on its back. It's too heavy for me, ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet made the camel sit and took the things off the back, and when the man came out of the masjid, he said, whoever did this to the camel, laysa minni, cannot be one of my people. It has no mercy. There's no rahmah. He served everything and everyone around them, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And therefore, if you, by definition, in your life, your heart has caused you to be a taker, your first thought is, what can I profit from others? Maybe this brother will drive me home. Maybe this brother will, oh, look, this is on, how can I get something? If your thought is about taking rather than giving, know that there's a problem in your heart. Because that wasn't Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the whole entirety of his life, our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ate or drank from anything alone. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that when I would drink, I would give it to the Prophet, he would drink from where I drank. And when he drank, he would never finish it. He would give me from it. Prophet ﷺ sees Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu hungry, thirsty. So the Prophet drinks from the cup, adds his barakah in it, a cup of milk, and says, Ya Aba Hirra, drink. Abu Huraira drinks until his stomach khalas. Because of the cup never stops. Prophet ﷺ, drink, drink, drink. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, in the days of Khandaq, they're digging a trench in al-Madinah. He sees the Prophet ﷺ is weak, hasn't had food. For weeks they didn't light fire, there's no food, they're under siege, the mushrikeen are coming. The only way to save themselves is they dig a khandaq, a moat. So he goes to his wife, he says, do we have any food? She says, we have a little bit of food. He says, okay, cook it. I'm going to invite the Prophet ﷺ. She says, yes, but the Prophet always brings people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So tell him it's only very little. Abu Ayyub, he says to the Prophet in his ear quietly, Ya Rasulullah, I have food for you, wa nafar, and one or two people. Prophet ﷺ says to Bilal, tell everyone we have dinner today at Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu arda, alayhi afdal as-salawatu wa taslim. Abu Ayyub panics. He runs back to his wife and the Prophet says, hey, go to your wife, tell her not to open it and not to serve. Wait until I get there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet began to serve. 1,300 people from one pot, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Serving, serving, until everyone ate and they could not eat anymore, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why was he the one? Why does he do this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because his heart has compassion, has openness. His heart, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is open to the pain of others. To the pain of everything around him. Even a tree influences him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fourth thing that you know whether your heart is alive, whether your heart is salim, is pure, is clean, is available for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in your moments of anger. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to the man, La taghdab, don't be angry. It doesn't mean don't become emotionally angry. It means don't let that anger that's inside cause you to act outside in a foolish way. The seat of all anger, the seat of all sins is in your heart, begins inside. Just like the seat of all good deeds and all amal salih is in your heart. How do we define iman? What's a definition of iman? Al-iman ma waqara fil qalb. It is what is in the heart. وَتَكَلَّمَ بِهِ اللِّسَانِ. And that the tongue speaks to describe what it feels. وَعَمَلُ الْجَوَارِحِ وَالْأَرْكَانِ. And that your body acts to confirm what's in your heart. And of the things that poison your heart and remove iman, the first sin is anger. All of our other sins come from anger. Your jealousy is because you're angry. You're angry with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't give you what He gave that person. So you're angry with that person. You're angry. You're rebelling against Allah. Shaitan, his mistake is that he was angry with Allah. أنا خير من, I'm better than him. His anger made him arrogant, made him reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's instructions. At a moment of anger, my dear brother, my dear sister, your heart closes. You can even feel it. You know, your heart constricts and your chest constricts. You feel a tightness in your chest. You begin to breathe heavy. You physically change, your heart rate accelerates, physically and spiritually. And one of the signs that you have a problem with your heart is that you're unable to control it, you're unable to slow it, to slow that anger, to restrict it. The words you say are too quick for your mind to stop you from saying it. How many times, you know, subhanAllah, I was reading in the newspaper that, you know, I was on a flight from Dubai to the UK. So they had a newspaper from India, I think India Times or something. And the Prime Minister or President of, the Prime Minister of India, he's putting pressure on the ulama of the country to abandon their policy of three talaq is in one go is final. It's a big thing. Because he has an epidemic. He's saying there's all these women who are getting divorced because their men, their heart, anger, talaq, 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 rapid fire, machine gun, mashallah. Khalas. In the Hanafi madhab, it's over, finished. You have the same problem here. The BBC, I read this disgusting article. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our sisters, protect our homes, Ya Rab. You must have read it. That there's an industry now, money making. MashaAllah, husband, he has a closed heart, angry heart. Talaq, talaq, talaq. Oh, it's finished. But I love her. Too late. I love him. Too late. We have children. Too late. What do? There's a guy, pay him £3,000, £5,000, and consummate the marriage with him. And then he divorces you after. Muhallil. And this is condemned by Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Heart. Ayn al-qalbi, akhi. See, we're talking about reality. It's a disease. Anger. It's one of the signs you have a problem, not with your mind. Your mind is connected to your heart. You have a problem with your eyes, with your intellect, with everything. Your reason, your heart, there's a problem. Number five, so that we can begin talking about the cures and the things that bless us and benefit us, is that you don't have ta'zeem li sha'airillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. What does it mean you don't honor the things that are sacred to Allah? You don't honor the sanctity of the faith that you and I have been blessed with. Things that are meant to be sacred, we play around with them. Wallahi, you say, wallahi, tallahi, you make qasam. Easy. You betray it, you don't keep it. It's a problem with your heart. The institutions of our faith. A masjid as beautiful, alhamdulillah, as spacious as this, gets tarnished. Someone defaces it, parks illegally, brings harm to the community. Why? Because you don't have ta'zeem, sha'a'irillah. You came for Jumu'ah. The parking is full, everything is full. You say, it's okay, it's only 20 minutes. Park in the middle of the road. Ya akhi, yalla, bismillah, bismillah. You think you're doing the right thing. It's better for you to miss the Jumu'ah because you're walking to the masjid and you come and you find you've been walking 20 minutes. You want to do the right thing. You've parked in a place that you should. You came late and you came, the Imam says, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum. Your ajr is with Allah. You have received the Jumu'ah. What's worse is to make that mu'adhah, that you harm people in your Jumu'ah. There you are, you triple parked, someone needs to get to work and you're taking your time talking with your friends. You don't have honor for the sacred things, for our masajid, for our community. You don't honor the hijab that you wear, the language you still use, the attitude you still have. Wallahi subhanallah, I saw with my own eyes, and may Allah protect us and may Allah forgive the sister. A sister, wallahi, she was in niqab, fully veiled. She had some other problem with someone and she was using words that as a man, I'd never heard. Yani someone born and raised in Canada, I've never heard these filthy words. Ukhti, at least honor what you're wearing. Honor the hijab. Honor the dignity of the jubba. I remember my sheikh, you know, when I was young, mashallah, I was just beginning to grow my beard. I have a light beard. It takes very long to grow. And my sheikh said, look, alhamdulillah, Allah's giving you some hair now. He said, and he held it like this.
He said, only enter the places where this is welcome. Don't go a place where this isn't welcome. Wallahi, it stuck with me. Honor this. You see this? Don't go somewhere, don't do something that this doesn't represent. Be careful. Sometimes you see people doing strange things. La, عظم شعائر الله. This is from the sacred thing. You're doing it for Allah, for the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Have ta'zim for the thawb you're wearing, ya akhi. Sometimes you see a brother. We think it's little, but people who don't know us, they exaggerate it about us. You see a brother, he's standing at the side of the road. MashaAllah, thawb, lihya, multazim. 5 more seconds, 10 more seconds, the light will turn green for him to cross. What does he do? In the middle of the road, what does he do? Cross the road. There's a crosswalk there. There's rules, there's regulations. Have ta'zim, be extra aware of the things you wear, the things that represent Allah, our faith. Be extra careful when you resemble something that Allah wants you to maintain. This is the concept, that your heart is awake. You don't just think of, so what? It's halal, haram. La. Part of al-muru'ah, part of being a good person, is that you choose to do what is best of what is right. يعني أحسن ما في الحلال. And you choose to do the least of what is wrong. You don't want to do anything suspect to honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, إِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. It's not the hearts, it's not the eyes that are blind. You know, all of us, alhamdulillah, Allah's given us levels of sight. Your eyes see. It's not your eye that's blind. It's that the heart is blind to the reality. What does this mean? In my life and your life, my dear brother, there will be things where we should see danger, but you can't see it with your eyes. Your heart should tell you, don't invest your money there. Your heart should tell you, don't go into business with this brother. Your heart should tell you, be quiet, your wife is angry, your husband is angry, be quiet. Don't respond. Imam Ahmad, rahmatullahi alayhi, said, I've been married to my wife for more than 20 years, not once did we have an argument. They said, this is impossible, Imam. Not once you had a fight, not once you had a problem with each other. He said, wallahi, not once. When she was angry, I was quiet. When I was angry, she was quiet. So I was only talking to myself. Khalas. Your heart should tell you, warn you, don't answer back now. Don't say anything. Leave this place before this happens. Every time fitna comes, if your heart is awake, it will tell you it's coming before it comes. Our imams, they would say to us, that al-amma, people like us who are not ulama, that fitna is known to us only after it leaves. Fitna comes and then it left. And we say, oh subhanallah, there was a fitna. The ulama, because their heart sees, not their eyes see, their heart sees, they see the fitna and they warn us about it before it arrives. But we don't listen. The more your heart is open to Allah, the more you see with your firasa. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim writes about al-firasa. He says al-firasa is that your intuition, your inner heart, sees more clearly than the eyes in the daylight sun. You can see everything very clearly. People used to be scared to meet some of the Sahaba. People used to be scared to come and shake hands with Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu arda, because his heart could see right through them. He could say to them what sins they had done in their home before they came to see him. They would be scared to make musafaha. Umar radiallahu anhu, all of these are sahih narrations. Umar radiallahu anhu arda, the famous narration of Sariya. Sariya,
who's one of the Sahaba, he was given the deputization to be the leader of a platoon. And as he's in enemy territory, he's walking through a valley. He doesn't know that the enemy has encircled them from the rooftop, from the hillside. They're on the top of the mountain, above them quietly. Hundreds of miles away, Umar's eyes don't see, but his heart sees. Umar's heart sees Sari and the Sahaba. And he calls out to them. It's in Jumu'ah, he's on the minbar. He says, Ya Sariya, ila al-jabal. Sariya, look up at the mountain, man. Don't you see? Another. Sariya says, Sami'na sultan, hatifan mina. We heard of this. It's as if someone's calling us from the sky. We don't know who it is. وَكَأَنَّهُ Umar. We're saying, but it's not Umar. How can it be Umar from so far away? 200, 300 miles away. They hear his voice. His heart is awake. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَهُوَ نَبِيِّ اللَّهِ. He woke up, you know, he prayed his tahajjud. Then part of his sunnah was that he would lay back down on his back, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until Bilal would make the iqama. And sometimes as he's laying, he would fall into sleep. He would fall asleep that Aisha could hear his voice in and out. Not snoring, but he would get heavy in his sleep. And he woke up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and went straight to pray. And Aisha says, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were asleep. He said, La. He said, No. My eyes were asleep, but my heart was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is our Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it teaches us that the heart is meant to be awake, to wake up. Your heart might not be awake when you're asleep. But it's a disaster if your heart is asleep when you're awake. Your heart might not be awake when you're asleep, ya akhi, but it's a disaster if your heart is asleep when you're awake. Just like we spoke about five things that we should be careful with, let's speak about five healing things for our hearts. Five healing things. The first of them is good company. People who have good hearts, their hearts attract your heart. And if you look around you, ya akhi, and you see people with hard hearts, it's because in your heart, there is hardness. In all of the languages of the world, الطُّيُورُ عَلَى أَشْكَالِهَا تَقَعَ. Birds of a feather flock together. In all that, you can be in China, someone will tell you in Cantonese, look at those birds, they're all together because they look the same. All those hearts, it's not about the physical. You can have one person tall, one person short, one person Arabi, one person white. But they all have one thing in common. Their hearts are the same. Who are the people who have similar hearts to you? Look at the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in Sahih Muslim. He says, صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا يأكل طعامك إلا تقي. والتقوى هاهنا. Prophet would say, taqwa is in here, in your chest, in your heart. Prophet ﷺ tells you, don't let anyone eat your food unless you're sure they have taqwa. Yani, the brother, jazallah khair, he didn't ask me for my taqwa license before he brought me tea and water. Hey, akhi, where's your license today? You have taqwa? What does it mean, ta'amaka illa taqi? Jazakumullah khair, if one of you invites me to your home for supper after Isha, I would be honored. But I will never feel comfortable to walk into your kitchen, open your fridge, take out whatever food I want. I'm not familiar with you that way. I'm not used to eating your food. This is what the Prophet is saying, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't let someone be so close to you that they feel comfortable to eat whatever they want. They sit down, bismillah. They don't even ask you. Don't let that relationship with anyone be a best friend with anyone like that. Unless you are certain that in their heart there is taqwa. That's one of the first ways to cure your heart, that you look at your friends. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدَكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالَ. Let each of you look critically at who their best friend is. صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the authentic hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, Prophet ﷺ said, المؤمن مرآة أخيه. A believer is a mirror of his friend, of another person. You as a believer, when you look at another one, your best friend, they're your mirror. Why do we use a mirror? Do you use it to look for good things or for things that are not right? The sisters, mashallah, she wants to make her scarf right, she keeps looking in the mirror. Because unless she sees where it's not fixed, hair is coming from this side, the pin is not in the right. You look always for a blemish, you always look for a bad thing in the mirror. That's what the Prophet ﷺ is telling you. Look into the mirror, your friends, your community, to see what's wrong. Because it's actually in yourself as well. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the first thing we, to cure our hearts, be careful with your friendship. Number two, the food you eat affects your condition of life. Just like the food you eat affects your health. If you eat a high fat diet, if you're not careful, you know, subhanAllah, it affects you. You have to eat that which will nurture you. In the same way, the food you eat, make sure it nurtures you from halal. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu, he's one of the 10 who the Prophet ﷺ said to him in his life, I guarantee for you to enter Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Min al-ashr al-mubashirin. He's one of the uncles of the Prophet ﷺ, one of the greatest military commanders of our ummah. The Prophet made him a general, Abu Bakr made him a general, Umar made him a general. He was always a general in our ummah. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, one of the greatest things that he was known for, annahu mustajabu du'a. That whenever he put his hands up to Allah, Allah answered him straight away. Immediately. Straight away he'd say, Ya Rab, straight away. So they asked him, why do you think Allah has given you this? Yani, there's other sahaba, they don't have this. What made you so special, Ya Sa'd? What's your special secret? He said, Wallahi la adri walakin mundu an aslamt. Wallahi, I don't know, I'm not really sure. But if you were to ask me, I would say to you, the only thing I think that I may be different maybe than others in, from the day I became a Muslim, ما دخل جوفي, nothing entered into me, I never put anything in my mouth, except that I knew where it was from, and that I was allowed to consume it, and that it was good for me to eat. Those three things. How it was earned, even if someone else, I'm going to eat from their food, I want to know where he got it. Are you, yani, what its source is. He's never put in himself anything except al-halal that is certain. Had no ambiguity in it. And that's what makes your heart radiant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear then the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in Sahih Muslim, where he describes that man who's lost in the desert. And he puts his hands to Allah, he knows Allah. He says, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. And the Prophet says, no, Allah's not going to answer this one. Even though Allah says, who answers the one in need except Allah? The Prophet says, no, this one won't be answered. Why? مَأْكَلَهُ مِنْ حَرَامٍ مَلْبَسَهُ مِنْ حَرَامٍ. His food was from haram. He purchased it in haram. He wasn't careful if it's halal. His clothing from haram. غُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. His whole system of life was haram. أَنَّا يُسْتَجَبْ لَهُ. How does he think he will be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That man perishes in the desert, dies in the desert. Isn't answered by Allah. His heart is impure, insincere with Allah Azza wa Jal. So we said the first, your friends. Second, the food we ingest, the rizq that we enjoy. Look at the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ghnina bihalalika an haramik. O Allah, give us the ghina, enrich us with the halal that turns us away from the haram. O Allah, enrich us with you so that we don't turn to anyone other than you. Allahumma ghnina bika amman siwak. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah enrich us, Ya Rab, with Himself, with the halal, that is enough for us, that turns us away from the haram. Number three, from the things that begin to cure our heart, heal our heart, from the five things that we mentioned as blemishes. Number three, from the things that cure our heart, we mentioned the first two, having good friends. Number two, ingesting al-halal al-tayyib. Number three, is as-sadaqah, charity. Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith in Muslim, the hadith of Umar, as-sadaqatu burhan. Sadaqah is evidence. What does that mean, evidence? It means on the day of judgment, I have proof. Ya Rab, that man, that sister, that thing, that masjid, Ya Allah, there's my proof that what you blessed me with, I didn't only enjoy it, but I gave it to those who could not enjoy it themselves and earn it themselves. It's a burhan, it's an evidence for you. Prophet ﷺ, Allah sends to him in the Quran that the greatest thing that a person who has died, who now sees Jahannam and sees the Jannah, who will say, oh Allah, return me to the dunya. If they could come back to the dunya, what would they want to do? Make hajj, siyam, salah. فَأَتَصَدَّقْ وَأَكُنْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِ. Oh Allah, allow me to go back and give sadaqah. Why? Because sadaqah, ya akhi, is evidence for you. Giving sadaqah begins where first? In the heart. Wallahi, it's tough. You know when you open your wallet, you get this, it's like an electric shock. You open your wallet and you see that I only have Australian with me. It's different colors. Your money is the same color. So we have green, we have yellow. The green is the big one. Pink is a little one. Fiver. You look at it and you know your brain. Wallahi, we have rent. You have to put petrol in the car, ya akhi. Then it's like, Allah, you have to get something for your kids on the way home. You have to. Every time you come to give, there's something that comes in your mind. It deters you. The mind, the thing that is attacked, is this consciousness of your heart. It's your heart. You have to subdue your heart. What is the thing that loves money? It's your heart. Yani, when you think about money, what is it that loves it? Your heart, ya akhi. The Prophet ﷺ, a human being, Ibn Adam, if you give him two valleys, gold mines of gold, if you give me two valleys of gold, I'd wake up in the morning and look for the third one. It's just how you are, ya akhi. You have a full wallet. Yeah, but there's more room on the other side. Wallahi, وَلَا يَمْلَأُ جَوْفُ ابْنِ آدَمٍ. But nothing is going to fill you in the inside. Nothing is going to cool that heart except the dirt of your grave. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ. You're distracted by it. So give sadaqah. And the more you give, and give to burn your heart. You know, we've lost this concept of going beyond just the level. Ali radiallahu anhu wa arda, he says, I look forward to the summer where its day is long and hot so I can fast in it. And I look forward to the winter where its day is short, but its night is long, so that I pray all night in it. Ali radiallahu anhu. He wants to have tahdhib. He wants to cleanse himself. He wants to purge his heart. Why do you think the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has forgiven him everything? مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. And the Sahaba would say to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see you standing in the night, half the night, more than half the night, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until your feet are swollen. Yani, your feet are. Why? He says, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shouldn't I be appreciative of Allah forgiving me? Shouldn't be appreciative for the position Allah has given me? He does it because he doesn't want his heart to lose the thankfulness for that ni'mah of Allah. Give sadaqah, burn your heart with it. Give more than you would normally give. You see the different color note, or you see the bigger note, and your heart is telling you no, trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give. And Allah has promised that the one who gives with sincerity, that Allah returns it adhaafan mudhaafa. Number four, because the time for Isha is soon upon us in 5 minutes, inshaAllah, from the ways that we cure our heart, remedy our heart, after we said, for those who are just joining us, first, we said, make good friends. Second, we said, have clean, halal and tayyib food. Third, be regular and giving in your charity. Number four in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we put ourselves in humility in jobs that we normally do not want to do. And what you would see from many of the Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim, there were those of them who were esteemed and noble, but they would do jobs that breaks their spirit, that increases their humility. I've seen some of, our Sheikh Abdul Sudais has visited this masjid many times. I've translated for him here. I've seen with my own eyes in Mecca al-Mukarramah, in the Haram, I've seen the Sheikh, not just when the cameras, sometimes you'll see it because they want to, they want to do some advertisement or something. But I've seen him with my own eyes when nobody knows, dressed in not the, mashallah, the bisht and the ghutra, face covered, wearing just a hat. People don't know him unless they know the Sheikh. I've seen him take a mop. I've seen him take things in the bathrooms, not just in the haram, not just in the mataf. Wallahi, I was confronted by the Sheikh. وَلَا أُزَكِّي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدٍ. I don't say this to praise him. Wallahi, I saw him in the bathroom cleaning it. And I took it from him. And he said, لا تفتني يا أخي. Who said for you to be my fitna? Let me do what I'm doing. Leave me alone. Allahu Akbar. So this was the habit of the righteous, because you have to subdue your heart. Sometimes you have to bring yourself down a little bit. With your wife, with your children, with your community, you have to do the things that humble you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, don't have fakhr and elevate yourself above other people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma ala shay illa wada'ahu Allah. Because if you don't bring yourself down, the Prophet warns, nothing will reach a high level, everyone says, mashallah, look at this. Except Allah will bring it down himself. Because you don't want to bring yourself down. If you don't bring yourself down regularly, have humility and bring yourself down, Allah will bring you down. May Allah protect us, ya Allah. And fifth and finally, from the things that we seek to do to increase and cure our heart, is to visit the sick, and to visit hospitals, and to visit old age homes, and to visit our elders. It doesn't have to be related to you. Wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. The one of us who visits a hospital regularly earns greater reward. Ya akhi, you can earn a greater reward by going to a hospital that's near here than having sat here and read a juz. Go to a cancer ward. I'm not even talking about Muslims. Go to a cancer ward and comfort people. Just talk with people. Go to the old age home where there's Muslims and non-Muslims. Visit your brothers. SubhanAllah, I learned this lesson, wallahi, 2 weeks ago. A friend of mine who has passed away, SubhanAllah, I was unaware that his father was still alive. I forgot his father was still alive. I was aware, I forgot. And SubhanAllah, he was the only son. And to my surprise, when I went to visit that old age home, I see Uncle Yaqub. I say, what's this? I remember this man, I haven't seen him 5-6 years. And I see him and I say, is that, he sees me, he says, Yahya. And I turn, who is this man saying Yahya? I go, Uncle Yahya, is that you? He says, yes, you forgot me. Or is my hair too gray? He's, mashallah, almost in his 90s.
He made me smile. I said, Subhanallah, wallahi, uncle, I'm ashamed of myself. Wallahi, I didn't know you were here. He said, oh, I've been here 6 years. Since my boy died. Nobody visits him. Nobody. He can't come to the masjid for Jumu'ah. There's people in your community right now. Wallahi, if you were to leave now and go to your community, go to the nearest hospital, you will see. Go to a cancer ward. Go to a dialysis ward. Go to people recovering from surgery. Go to a place where someone is ill. See what Allah has given other people. Your bala' will be nothing. Whatever test you have, wallahi, it is nothing. It opens your heart. Visit the graveyard. Visit the bereaved. Visit the orphans. Prophet ﷺ said, the one, kama عِنْدَ الْإِمَامِ Muslim, the one who has no rahmah in their heart, let him put his hand on the head of a yatim. Yani just touch the yatim. Don't even talk to him. Yani just stroke the head of a yatim, your heart will be soft. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The rahmah will enter. Akhi, you need to be civic in your duties. It's easy to be kind to those who are kind to us. It's easy to be kind to those who are in our face. It's easy to be kind to those who we love and are regular in our home. It is difficult when we forget people. And the Prophet ﷺ was the one who never forgot a sahabi. In the day of Badr, in the day of Uhud, it's the middle of the night. The Prophet said, go out into Uhud, bring them back so I can pray for them with Hamza. And they go and they come. He goes, no. You forgot one, I didn't. Aina Julaybib. Everybody forgot Julaybib. He goes and gets him. He comes back, no, there's another one. Ah, you forgot him. Abad Dahdah. He goes out and brings him. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you didn't come to the masjid for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, he's at your door. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A man who used to have a young child, يَصْحَبَهُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ, used to bring his young boy every day to the masjid. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. And one day, امتنع, the man doesn't come to the masjid anymore. فَسَأَلَ عَنْهُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالُوا مَاتَ وَلَدَ. They said, oh Messenger of Allah, his son has died. فَحَبَسَ نَفْسَهُ. It's a nice way of saying he's given up faith. They don't want to say, يعني, he's left iman. They say, حَبَسَ نَفْسَهُ. Oh Messenger of Allah, he does not praying. He doesn't, because if you don't come to the masjid, for them that meant you, there's no salah. There was no Muslim man who just prays dhuhr at home. The masjid in Medina is where everyone prayed with the Prophet ﷺ, or their musalla that was near them in the Medina of the Prophet. He said, Habad, why didn't you tell me? Prophet goes to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he says to him, come with me to pray. The man says, Ya Rasulullah, I can't. I used to bring my son there every day. I'm heartbroken. He was in depression. He's suffering. Prophet ﷺ goes to his home. And even the Prophet comes to his home, he doesn't come back with the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet said, listen, if you want, I will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will bring your son back to life. تُمَتِّعُ بِهِ دُنْيَاك. He will bring you your son back to life and you will have him in your life the rest of your life until you die. When you die, your son will die. أَوْ تَصْبِرْ. Or you can be patient. وَتَجِدْهُ عِنْدَ بَابِ الْجَنَّةِ يَصْحَبُكَ إِلَى بَيْتِكَ. Or you can be patient and come to the masjid with me and you will find your son at the gate of Jannah on the Day of Judgment waiting for you, and instead of you bringing him to the masjid like you used to, he will wait for you at the gate of Jannah and he will hold you by your hand to take you to your house in Jannah. You choose. فَرَجَعَ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He came to the masjid with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Open your heart. See the pain that is found in our community. See what is missing and what you can do in the way that the Prophet ﷺ taught us to do. That is the sunnah. That is the sunnah of our Nabi Muhammad ﷺ. وفي هذا الكفاية وصلي اللهم وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.